Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name.
Good morning, friends. Good to see you today. Thanks for your presence here this morning. I'm so glad to see you. Thanks for those of you who are joining online. Hopefully the feed is up and active, and we're so grateful for your presence today. And as always, join with us in communion a little bit later in our service with the bread, the cup, whatever you have to use is just fine. So, and those of you who are in person, so good to see your faces today. What a joy it is to gather once again this morning. And happy Mother's Day to those of you who are mothers. We honor moms everywhere, of course. We honor those of you who are currently mothers. We honor those of you who had mothers that have already passed on. We honor those of you who had complicated relationships with your mothers, or have lost the children that made you mothers, or you wish that you could have been a better mother, or been a mother at all, or have become surrogate mothers to children without one. We bless you all today, all the women here today. We honor you and give thanks for your life. We see God in you, and we are grateful. So thanks for your presence with us today. Well, we're going to worship as we always do, the reason that we come, to encourage one another in faith, to remember the God who is indeed among us. I'm going to light our Christ candle to give us a visual representation of that remembrance. I'm going to read from Psalm 130. Andrea is leading us in song. We'll pray together. Jesse will do that in a few minutes. We'll have Lily come and lead our scripture for today. I'll say a few things, and then we'll break bread and drink from the cup together. Well, there we go. It's okay. Would you stand, please, as I read from Psalm 103, starting in verse 1 to verse 5. Let's remain standing for the songs that follow, and then you can sit when Jesse comes and prays. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Let's worship in song together.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me
Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering.
to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises, as your people declare your mighty works. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises, as your people declare your mighty works. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Let us pray. God, thank you for the women of this church and the women of the world, Father God, that you have delivered them, Father God. My grandmother used to always say, you know, trust women, you know, and they will be there for you. So let us pray. Each and every one of us in here, Father God, our mothers, or they had mothers who is gone, Father God. But Father God, they leave a legacy in us, Father God, that we carry the torch and the throne and the cross on our back. So Father God, let each and every one of us and in the world, Father God, will be obedient. Salvation, Father God, let them receive salvation. Let them receive their healing, what they're looking for, Father God. Father God, this is Mother's Day, Father God. Let's give thanks to all the mothers in the world, Father God. The mothers, Father God, that's going to be there for us. Not only for the children, but for their husband, Father God. Anyway, Father God, my mother and my grandmother used to always say, and my auntie say, your mother going to be there, but your father ain't. Your father gonna let you stay wherever you at. But you can count on your mother. So let's glorify today as a day that we glorify all the mothers in the world. Each and every one of us, Father God, we came from our own mother womb. It says in the Bible, you know, God says, I knew you before the foundation of the world. I knew you before you was in your mother womb. So Father God, he knew what each and every one of us was gonna be at. And I just want to wish and bless every one of us and the people that's watching on Facebook or the people around the world. Heal them, all the mothers, all the women, because they're the backbone of the family, Father God. And Father God, you led us, Father God, to this church on Mother's Day. So Father God, I'm finna tell you something. I glorify you and I praise you. And I know each and every woman in this church, Father God, will glorify you because they are husband, wife, children, mothers. And Father God, thank you for being born into this world, Father God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Thanks, Jesse. Before Lily comes and reads our scripture for this morning, I want to make mention of the song that's up on the screen, about to go up on the screen. This is the song, Bless the Lord. It gets bigger, the next slide will get a little bit bigger. There we go. This is a song that we usually reserve for Advent season, but it's especially appropriate for today, so we're going to sing it. We're going to sing it through four times. And then after Andrew sits down, Lily will come forward and read from Luke 24.
Bless the Lord, my soul, and bless God's holy soul.
Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God.
Our young people, you see up on the screen our roots slide. If you would like to be part of the roots table back there, Miss Brandy is making her way, and you can participate in our service that way if you so choose. All right, well, let's pray together, please. Thank you, God, for the children among us who bless us in so many ways. Thanks also for the gift of this space and this time that we now get to share with one another. Will you pour forth through me the gift of preaching? Will you give us ears to hear and eyes to see? It's because of Christ we pray. Amen. I hesitate to make such a blanket statement, but I do believe that this is the shortest text I have ever preached on. I may be wrong about that, especially since I cannot remember what I had for lunch yesterday, and I'm sure some of you with razor-sharp brains can and will tell me I'm wrong, and that's okay, I'm not beyond reproach. The text is just four tiny verses. And even when they are shoved together, it's barely enough to be considered a full paragraph. But the action is packed. The quick movement is driven by the verbs, no surprise there, all nine of them. Led out, lifting up, withdrew from, carried up, worship, returned to, that's six. And it's those six that will keep the text engine humming along without a pit stop. And why should there be? It's the ascension of Christ, after all, the magnanimous conclusion to an epic tale, God wrestling life from the death grip of the tomb, emptying sin and shame of its manic control of creation's narrative. And now the one who was laid below is raised up and up and up, returning to the God from whence he came, to the place of honor and glory forever and ever, world without end. Amen. As mind-boggling as such a soaring scene might be to us, having not experienced it firsthand, we can only imagine the amazement of the disciples, what they must have felt. Jesus soaring without jetpack or wings or balloon. Even as we talk about such things, our goal today is not to debate the rules of levitation. We're not intending to scientifically explain how to anyone why the Earth's gravity in that moment bended its unbendable rules for the Savior of the world. We could say the same about the resurrection, of course, or any of the miracles Luke reports on in his gospel writings, breaking all logical rules. Although I do take note in Scripture of how often God seems predisposed to lift every voice and body up and away from the mortuary of sin and death, resurrections breaking loose wherever we look. What interests us today, however, is the so what and the what now. To do that, let's return to the verbs we have thus far dismissed. The last three of the nine verbs are the same verbs, eulogeo, which means to bless. You may recognize in the Greek word eulogeo our English word eulogy, which we typically reserve for memorial services. a word of praise and homage, a tribute to one that we love who has just died. Blessings, when used for more than just funerals, are powerful and lively and personal. Words spoken from one alive person to another, expressions of acceptance and heartfelt love. Every human heart, young or old, longs to be truly known and truly affirmed. And a blessing slots right into that place, saying, God is for you. God is with you. God is at work in your life. Eulogio's three appearances in our short text forms the spine that the rest of the body centers around. Blessing three times. Let's look at each one. First, Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. After he teaches them and commissions them in the hidden room in Jerusalem, Jesus takes them by the heart outside of town. Do you remember last week when we talked all about Jesus' hands and his wounds? Healed, but wounded nevertheless. It's those same hands he lifts up now and uses them to bless the women and the men and all those who follow him out to Bethany. Jesus, he lifts up his hands, holds them high for all to see, and with those raised hands, he transfers everything about his life into theirs, a zipline of holy blessing from his fingertips to their eyeballs. Jesus confers to God these disciples gathered before him. He entrusts them to God's care. He blesses them with the assurance of God's favor and God's provision and God's presence. Raised hands become the path to bestow God's blessing. It's a very priestly sort of thing to do, something all these disciples would have been familiar with. They would have known how Moses once asked Eleazar the priest to bless and commission Joshua, who would succeed Moses as leader of Israel, and Eleazar did so by laying his hands on Joshua. They would have known how Aaron, Moses' brother, once blessed the leaders of Israel by lifting his hands over them, and once done, fire from God's immensity came down from the heavens and terrified the onlookers. They did not know yet, but would know soon how, in the book of Acts, these same apostles who received the blessing of the hands, they would bless with their hands a group of seven folk who would take over the sacred work of running a breadbasket food pantry for hungry widows. That's what Jesus is doing. He's blessing. Perhaps he goes from person to person, down the line, laying his palms on each shoulder and blessing them, speaking direct words to one individual and then moving on to the next. Or maybe everyone was just clumped together and he blesses everyone at once. Whatever he does, and however he does it, and forever, for however long, it's the closeness of his lifted hands that provide the blessing with its energy. The blessing is right there because he is right there. We ourselves are no strangers to blessing with hands. We'll bless for any reason, and bless we have. When Steve Sanifer retired 8 years ago now, we blessed both he and Joe. When Dee and Brent became shepherds, we blessed them both. When our teachers and students go back to school, we bless them. When our young people graduate from high school, we bless them. When babies make their way into the world, we bless them along with their parents. During the pandemic, when our doors were shut, we blessed with drive-throughs. We blessed Ford before he went off to boot camp, didn't we? We bless our missions partners, Reggie and Glenn, whenever they come to town. We bless our young people at Reach to Teach at the end of a school year. We bless with hands as a physical representation of entrusting one another to God, using appropriate touch as a way to say, you are connected to God and we are connected to each other. There is more blessing here than we know. Yesterday evening, Chelsea and I were sitting out in our driveway, and Cora was playing with the neighborhood cat across the street. Sometimes around this time at night, I will play frisbee or soccer with Cora, and last night, an older gentleman and his wife walked by on their nightly stroll, and he said to me, "Not playing ball tonight?" "No, not tonight. The cat has taken precedence over me." Well, seeing you play with her like that inspires this old man, he said, pointing to his beating heart. Bless you. And I can promise you with all truth that I received his words. This first blessing is the blessing of proximity. Jesus standing before his disciples and his friends and blessing them. Unfortunately, as soon as the blessing of proximity gets going good with the desire to keep the holiness coming, the second blessing comes to take it all away. Verse 51, while he was blessing them, Jesus withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. This is the blessing of departure, which seems like no blessing at all. Wouldn't it be better for everyone involved if he were to stick around? Why is he leaving? How many more people could he show his wounded hands to? How many more could come to know grace like they have, experiencing the blessing of his physical presence? What about all the people he met along the way in Luke's gospel? What about the people he did not get to meet? What about us? As Jesus returns to heaven, drifting further and further away, the distance makes the blessing harder to recognize. The wind whooshing his voice away before it could fully reach them, the clouds shrouding him from sight. What? Speak louder, I can't hear you. The progressive detachment of Jesus' blessing does more harm than good. He should have just stopped when he had the chance before he starts floating away, throwing up a peace sign, gotta run, I'll talk to y'all later, okay? This blessing isn't much of a blessing at all. It's more like a curse, I think. The residue of what was a glorious relationship you had at some point with God, but now the hand that once held yours is nowhere to be found. In any case, the full body weight of curses is much easier to see than a disappearing hand of blessing. Cursed dumpster fires everywhere, and you could name many from this past week alone, can't you? Like you, I have been on the receiving end of curses. I don't know, maybe you haven't. I've been cursed at by persons at her office door, including by one gentleman, and please don't tell my wife about this one, who was clearly unstable, and I thought he was going to punch me, and my thought was, I'm so glad I have a good dentist. I was cursed by another person who, after I told her that I'm sorry, I cannot help with her light bill, she called down hell's karma upon me, her phrase, so angry was she. And this after she flattered me by saying that she heard that I was a person who could get things done. And years ago now, someone at the end of a worship service cursed me out. That was fun. Don't believe anyone who tells you that preaching is a safe profession. I certainly recognize that all of them had much bigger issues going on, and I just happened to be the person caught in their cursing wake. But still, it doesn't feel too good, you know? It never does. Worse is when, in our moments of weakness, jinxes fly out of our mouths and hearts, all of these counter curses that stun my offenders with the speed and accuracy of my well-placed words. Have you been there? I once had a conversation with a person who told me that they thought following Jesus would turn their life around for the better. They shared with me about their onslaught of ordeals and how they just wanted to give up on the whole God thing. And if they had, I couldn't blame them. Just to curse God and die like Job's wife had once counseled. When is my blessing going to come, they said. A question to which I had no answer. Everything could have been so much better if the Jesus who lived and died and lived again had just stayed. One way I am learning to rehear absence not as a curse but as a blessing comes from a favorite poet of mine, a woman named Jan Richardson. Jan writes about blessings in all of her books, and this is a poem she wrote for this specific verse we are talking about now. It's called Blessing the Distance. It is a mystery to me how, as the distance between us grows, the larger this blessing becomes, as if the shape of it depends on absence, as if it finds its form not by what it can cling to, but by the space that arcs between us. As this blessing makes its way, first, it will cease to measure itself by time. Then it will release how attached it has become to this place where we have lived, where we have learned to know one another in proximity and presence. Next, this blessing will abandon the patterns in which it moved, the habits that helped it recognize itself, the familiar pathways it traced. Finally, this blessing will touch its fingers to your brow, your eyes, your mouth. It will hold your beloved face in both its hands, and then it will let you go. It will loose you into your life. It will leave each hindering thing until all that breathes between us is blessing and all that beats between us is grace. I love that. As the distance grows between us, the larger this blessing becomes. As if it finds its form not by what it can cling to, but by the space that arcs between us. So the zip line fingertip to eyeball is not how the departure blessing works. Rather, the further Jesus goes, the more expansive his blessing gets. A sweeping curve that stretches from horizon to horizon and beyond, with you and you and you caught in the midst of it all. Somehow, separation is part of the blessing, a last and lasting gift to those who know him best. And elsewhere, Jesus once told his disciples, I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate of God will not come to you, but if I go, I will send it to you. As Jesus departs, there is ample space for that advocating spirit to come, thus ushering in a fresh type of connection available to all, one that is not conditional on physical presence, but on a relationship that instead stubbornly trusts that the Holy Spirit will never, ever, not once, ever stop speaking God's great love over you. Separation here does not mean the curse of abandonment. It means the increase of blessing. Third blessing, last one. They worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God. The significance of leaving Bethany for Jerusalem is no small matter because Bethany was the site of so many very good blessings. The blessing of close friends like Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they all lived there. The blessing of resurrection, Jesus called Lazarus out of a tomb from there. The blessing of anointing, a woman once poured the expensive contents of a perfume bottle onto Jesus' head as he dined there. And now Jesus' two blessings are there, one of proximity and one of departure. Bethany is a village so full of blessing you can swim in it. But just as Jesus could not stay around, the disciples cannot either. They cannot stare at the skies waiting for them to part. They cannot make a campfire sitting around it telling fun stories late into the night. They cannot stay in the peaceful, easy feeling that this location alone offers. No, they have to return. They have to go back to Jerusalem, the location where all the agonizing heartbreak and the incredible wonder mingled with each other. God is about to do a brand new thing there, and the disciples need to be present for it if they are going to bless others eventually. While their bodies will move on from Bethany, where consecration rolls down like a never-ending stream, the disciples will have to learn to carry those blessings that they have received, the blessing of proximity and the blessing of departure. The third blessing, then, is the blessing of letting go. Letting go is painful. I don't want to let go. I want to hold on. I have found something that finally makes sense. But only in leaving do Jesus' disciples find something else moving in. Moving in, what takes her place is joy, who needs no permanent residence other than you. What takes her place is thanksgiving, a gratitude for what was and is and will be. What takes her place is faith, dwelling deep within all that uncertainty. What takes her place is peace, the profound quiet that evil's disharmony cannot destroy. What takes her place is hope that sticks around regardless of state. What takes her place is the love of God that remains whatever may come. Having received the blessing of proximity and the blessing of departure, and now the blessing of leaving, the disciples, they return the favor, praising God, worshiping God, blessing God, Luke writes, with all that they have and with all that they are, with all that they long to be, and it is no different for us. So thanks be to God for the blessings we ourselves have received. And let us, as a people of God, join our voices with disciples everywhere, past, present, and yet to come, worshiping God here and now as one, blessing the Lord as we sang, who leads us into life. And so together, my friends, this is how we can say or type together, amen and amen. Let's stand as tall as we possibly can as we sing this song together.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its brink. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? Thirsty soul.
The question that we get to answer for ourselves, will you come? Right? There's blessing there for you, and you are the one who gets to answer it. So the blessing today comes in the form, as it does each and every Sunday, in the form of bread and cup, Christ's body, Christ's blood, that we get to share with one another. What a gift and a blessing from God this continues to be for each other. I'm going to set out the blessing of passing the bread and the cup today. So if some of you would like to come and share the bread and the cup, divvying up the room as we typically do, you can do that in just a moment after I pray. Let's do that now, please. How blessed we are, O God, not in the ways that perhaps the world defines and describes what blessing is, but blessed because of who you are and who we are because of Christ. So thank you for these blessings today. As you have already done, would you bless us again as we eat and drink the body and the blood together here and now. It's through Christ we pray and give thanks. Amen.
Stars and plagues, why should I lose heart when I know how great you are? Why should I give up when your plans are full of love? You shine brighter than the brightest star. Your love purer than the purest heart. You Why should I be afraid when you put the stars in place? Why should I lose heart when I know how great you are? Why should I give up when your plans are full of love? You shine brighter than the brightest star. Your love, purer than the purest heart. You
set the stars in their place. You who calm the raging seas that came crashing over me. Rest assured in your great love.
You are magnificent, eternally wonderful, glorious Jesus. No one ever will compare to you, Jesus.
When the evening
well, the blessing that's been given to us, let us now bless other people with what we give, what we offer. We can do that with our time, of course, our efforts. You can also do that with your money. And you can give in some of these offering plates that these guys will walk around with in just a bit. You can give online, bring it to the office, hand it to me. I'll take care of it as well. As always, thank you, friends. Let's pray, and then Glenn and Alex will walk around. Thanks, as always, God, for the hearts and hands of people who are gathered here, for the ways that you continually bless so many people through their generosity and with whatever is given today with their hearts. We pray that your blessings would be made known and manifest through decisions made and wisdom that we've been given to use it. Thanks for Jesus again. It's because of him we pray. Amen. All right, while these guys are walking around, there are two other offering opportunities. One is up on the screen that you see. On May 29th, we will have a Missions Love Offering. We do this twice a year. This is May 29th. The other one we typically do right around Thanksgiving time, early December. All money that's collected will split 50-50 between Reggie and Glenn, two of our missions partners. So keep that in mind, please. May 29th, you can, of course, give any time between now and then, but that's the day that we'll specifically target the Missions Love Offering and talk about it more extensively. Also, since you could not put one of these in the offering plate, I have a friend who is in need of a bicycle. So if you have a bicycle that just sits in your garage or on your back patio that has not been touched in a while, that just needs maybe a little maintenance or no maintenance at all, you can talk to me, and I would love to receive that and give that away. So you can find me after service or sometime this week if you'd like. All right, directory photos. We're having three straight Sundays for our directory. May 15th, that is next Sunday. Steve Sandifer will have his camera and equipment out in the lobby, and we'll take pictures of you. And I want to say that some of you in our current directory have beautiful pictures that were taken 15 years ago. I would love to invite you to take more beautiful pictures that will last at least another 15 years. So if you want to do that, some of you might need a newer one. We'll be able to do that the next three Sundays. We'll also have our directory information, our address information, if you need to add, change, correct, X out everything, whatever you may need. We'll have those papers ready for you the next 3 weeks. And then King will update our Instant Church Directory, which is our app that you can download. If you don't know how to do that, King is your person for that. We'll also have some printouts available and some nice glossy directories that I'll have a couple weeks after the directory is through. So we'll keep you updated on that. All right, Thursday Bible class continues, 10:30 on Thursday via Zoom. Yes, Andrea. The last one. Okay, this is your last chance to come. So all delinquent people have got to show up to get a passing grade. Okay. All right, this Thursday is the last one before there's a break for the summer. So be part of that if you want. King is your connection. As usual, and you see up on the screen, Bible classes all over this building. Stay around, be a part of one of these community groups as we are sent out of here in just a moment. Okay, friends, blessings on you for sure. As you receive that blessing, would you stand and receive this last one, this benediction, as we go forth from here? I'm going to read our Luke text again that Lily so beautifully read a few minutes ago. All three blessings, hear them once again and receive whichever one that you need the most. As Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, blessing God. Go forth in peace and purpose.